First Nephi chapter 21. Nephi continues to quote from Isaiah in this chapter, and really this is a continuation of chapter 20. When we're studying this, though, again, we have to ask ourselves again, why is he quoting from Isaiah? The reason was that at the end of chapter 19, he said he was talking about the covenant with Israel, and that the Lord would fulfill his covenant with Israel. And what was that covenant? It was a gathering. And so he's talking to Israel, telling them that he is going to gather them, but he's given them some consolation, something to comfort them during the time when they're scattered, and that's what he's doing in these sections. And mostly that's what's going on here in chapter 21. He is calling to the scattered house, or to the scattered people, and he begins right off with reference to some of those that maybe feel the most oppressed, because he says to those who are driven out because of the wickedness of the pastors of my people, and he says, yes, there are those who are scattered due to the wickedness of church leaders who have driven them out, and we see that the true followers of Christ will not be driven out from the church, and we'll see that indeed he's talking about the Gentile church at this section, because later he will talk about these people that are scattered being the people of Zion. But he says, even though I have scattered all of you out, you are still my light, and in you're still the one that I've designated to be the light of the world. And he's telling you, even though you're hidden and you're pushed off and you feel you're down in the darkness, is that you to remember that you are his people and you are his light. And in verse 8 it says, but I will gather thee in an acceptable time, or meaning in an acceptable time have I heard thee, meaning I'll hear thy cries to me to gather. Again, we have to ask ourselves, do we want to be gathered? You're not of Israel unless you are crying to the Lord to be gathered. And those who are his people, or his scattered people, are crying to him, and he's saying at a acceptable time he will hear them. But nonetheless, he's trying to console them. And for instance, in verse 14, he says that they will, those that are scattered, or Zion will say, so we see that Zion is, the true Zion is scattered, the true people of Zion is scattered, and he says that they will say, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgot me. And this again shows some of the feelings that the true followers of Christ are having at this day. But he says, he calls to him, says he will show that he is not. He says, for can a woman forget her suckling child? And so again, he's letting them know that they are his people. Now in verse 20, you know, see, this is a back and forth thing, a back and forth song that the Lord is singing to your soul and to your spirit, and as he sings, he's letting you know that he understands your questions and your problems and your feelings and your remorse and your despair. He's letting you know that, and he takes each one of the feelings that you'll have, and then he responds to it in comfort. And so then he goes in verse 20. We're back to the scattered, saying to them that there is no place to dwell. It's all been taken. Give us a place to dwell. But now we live in this world, and this world is so overpopulated. There is no other place for us to go. But nonetheless, the Lord is obviously in this section going to continue to say, no, you are my people, and I will gather you. And then they say, well, and how about the Gentiles? You know, you can see they're feeling it. How about the Gentiles? Why is the Gentile church, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, why has it been set up to be the standard? And, you know, this is kind of on their mind. And so he explains that the Gentile church is set up a standard, and it's there to bring them the Book of Mormon. But this Book of Mormon is to help them. And sure enough, as we read this Book of Mormon, we find in it this information that talks about the scattered, that the true followers of Christ are indeed scattered, and that even if they join the Gentile church that that as they search to find Christ, that again the leaders of that Gentile church will drive them out. And so you're not to feel bad about that. But Gentile church is really there to we'll find this out actually out a lot more in chapter 22. But the Gentile church is really there to nourish you, and it's there to help you. But later on, you're going to be the one that's going to be upheld. And when I gather thee together, you'll be nursed by kings and queens. Everyone on the earth will desire or wish they had been you, and that they've got to be the ones that were gathered unto the Lord. But in 23 says that nonetheless you are waiting. But if you will wait for me, you will not be ashamed. Meaning in some senses maybe they have the feeling because you're scattered that others want to put on you the idea that you're ashamed. You really don't feel the feeling that you're ashamed. But they would, in all appearances, you're the one that's pushed down, and you're the one that's pushed out, and so forth. So it has this word of shame, and so he says, you will not feel will not be ashamed or pushed away if you wait for me. And not only that, you will be the ones that are in fact happy and lifted up. In verse 24, we're down to we're back to how these people are scattered feel again. They feel like they are the prey of the mighty, and that they are the lawful captives, meaning that due to law and the government and the power and the mighty of the world, everything is oppressing them, and they're the captives of that, and they're not free unto the Lord, and that the government and the churches and everything controls them, and that they are the ones that are pushed down and trodden upon by again the system. Well, again, most of us don't look at it and think that the system is bad, and we don't see how we're being preyed upon. We don't see the system as being our captors and that the law is an oppression to us. But those that are the true followers of Christ see it that way, and that's how they're going to feel. And then in verse 25 and 26, the Lord says, "Well, I'll take revenge for you. I'll take revenge upon these who have been your captors and those who have thought themselves to be mighty. I'll prove that I am the mighty one in the day that I come to gather thee. And when that happens, you know that I'm your Lord, and you know that you want me as your Savior. Well, you'll see that everyone in the earth in that day will know that I am the Lord, that I am the Savior and the Redeemer. I am the mighty one. That they're not the mighty ones. I am the mighty one of Jacob. Just of you, as you who are scattered and oppressed now, feel that, they will then see that. And again, I can't overstress this great desire that those who are the true followers of Christ look at him now, and even though it seems it's the great reign of the world and of man and their churches and governments and all, that to the true followers of Christ, they still believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord, and their eye is single to him, and they know that he's the mighty one, and that someday he will show to everyone that indeed he was the mighty one.